Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just take it easy on Bam. I have nightmares of against the 2-3 zone. Joker being in the middle of the floor. What he can do. NBA Finals are tonight. Denver and Miami in the Mile High City, where we find our good friend from the Denver Post, Parker Gabriel, who this time last year, if he was still here, he'd be writing about the schedule and kickoffs for Nebraska. But instead, he's covering the NBA Finals. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. You know, it's 13 weeks until football season around here. What are you doing?
I'm going to Broncos OTA this morning before game one of the finals.
Tonight. Oh, you got a day.
See, I know.
So, yeah, we got football, we got hoops, we got a little bit of everything.
Hey, So let's stick with your current beat, the Broncos. We'll talk about the Nuggets here in a moment. So now that Sean Payton is in the facility and he's been on the field and you've had a chance to watch Russell Wilson without Sean Payton, Russell Wilson with Sean Payton, What's a difference or two you notice on how that relationship is going to be different this year?
Well, I mean, we haven't seen a lot of Russell Wilson with Sean Payton so far. Just one OTA day, obviously, you know, no pads. Number two will be today. The second one we've seen at least. But I think already you sort of, there's probably going to be some structural changes, and then there'll be, you know, some role changes or just a different dynamic with Sean Payton in the building. The first thing is I think they'll benefit from just having not only a coherent offensive plan, but a Sean Payton offensive plan. I mean, he's been, it's not like he's won every single season he's ever coached or anything like that, but he's typically had good offensive teams. He's a good offensive coach. So, I think that will benefit Russ, and so will, running the football and playing not exactly the way they played when he was in Seattle, but probably closer to that than they did last year with Nathaniel Hackett. And then, you know, it's just the question is going to be how much can Russell play on time? How much can he play within the system? How much can he benefit from, you know, what should be a decent run game and maybe a better offensive line. And it's kind of funny because these are all parts of the conversation that were had last year too. It's just that almost literally none of it came to fruition last year. And I think with Sean Payton, there's a little bit more reason to believe that at least some of it will come to fruition this year. You know, we'll see about that, but certainly the track record's there.
Yeah, you bring up Sean Payton in the just sort of a coherent offensive plan. We know we're just so used to what he was able to do in New Orleans, and he knew exactly what he had, what he sort of identified to run that system. When you look at this Denver roster right now as it stands, and I think there's still a lot to be said about Russell Wilson and what we know he can do. But as far as comparing some of the pieces that really made that Saints offense work, do you feel like, you know, this Broncos offense is getting close to that? I mean, at least getting some of the parts that could make it very intriguing where he could have a similar type of successful offense?
Well, I think he spent most of the offseason so far trying to get those pieces in place. They've traded out, I think they have 35 guys on their 90-man roster that weren't on the team last year. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. It's a little, I think it's in the top five in the NFL. So it's not unheard of, but it's near the top of the league. And so, one of the things about Sean, I think any coach would tell you this, but Payton really believes in it and is very specific about it. Everybody that he brings in, he has an idea of a role for. So if he can't see what you bring to offense, defense, special teams, some combination, then it's not, he's not going to bring you in just because you might be a decent player. So, they have added a lot of guys who you figure, you have to make the 53, you have to earn your spot. But there's a lot of guys that I think that they feel like they've identified some kind of role for, whether it's you know, adding to the running back room with a guy like Samaje Perine behind Javonte Williams when he gets healthy, some receivers that can do different things than the guys they have. Obviously, they still have Jerry Jeudy, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick coming back from an ACL injury, but they've added other guys to that room, and they drafted Marvin Mims in the second round. So all of that combined with Vance Joseph sort of jumping in to a defense that has, you know, a pretty decent amount of talent coming back, some questions up front, but a team that, you know, a group that was pretty good last year. I think there's reason to think that they can turn it around, but it's not going to just happen right away. And I think for the most part, it's sort of like Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, the prognostications will be, I think people have learned their lesson for the most part. Yeah. They'll be pretty cautious on that front.
Hey, I don't know how much you dabble in this, but I'm always curious to hear people talk about this edition of Mile High Stadium. Why is there talk about the new ownership group wants a new stadium? That stadium isn't very old.
Yeah, it's 22 years old, and I think it's most of the talk is because they've acted like an ownership group that wants to build a new stadium. And we'll see. There's 10 years left on the lease, so it's not something that they have to figure out right away. And it's something that I think that if they're going to do, they want to have a whole lot of information and research behind them to make the decision. I think it's less a matter of does it have to happen and more a matter of the types of things you can do or do when you build a new stadium in this era. It's about building, you know, commercial development and having real estate around an arena. It's about, you know, maybe downsizing a little bit and having all of the bells and whistles. And I think one of the things that they've explored is how much of that can they do, and they're currently exploring this, how much of that can you do in your current building, and if you want to really get it right, you know, is it something that you can build into your current infrastructure, or do you have to build new? So it's a long-term decision, obviously. They've put more than $100 million into renovation into Empower Field this offseason, including just a massive video board and some other stuff. So they're not sitting idly by and letting Empower Field go, you know, wayward so that they can throw their hands up and say, hey, we need a new building. But certainly it seems as though they're trending toward, you know, perhaps thinking about a new stadium here in the next, you know, half a decade or so.
Park, talking hoops tonight, game one of the NBA Finals out there as well. We were getting into it, you know, Spoelstra made a comment that he's kind of dismissing the whole, you know, the altitude impact and how that affects. Look, I mean, you're active around there too. What's your impression of the altitude factor as it pertains to activity in Colorado?
Yeah, I can appreciate the sentiment about we're not going to worry about that. It's also science. Mm-hmm. Like, the air is thinner. So there is something to be said for, you know, the fact that it's tough to, you know, play with the Nuggets for four quarters, especially when they're, you know, operating in top gear. No matter where you are. And I'd imagine it's marginally more difficult to do that here in Denver. So I don't think the altitude is the whole reason why the Nuggets haven't lost here so far in the playoffs. That's also because, you know, home court advantage is a thing, and they're very good. You know, they're the number one seed in the West for a reason. But I don't think it hurts their ability to just sort of turn on the Jets. We've seen it happen, you know, several times in the postseason and just over the course of the regular season. They were really good at Ball Arena. So, you know, whether it's altitude or whether it's just the fact that, you know, when Denver gets on these runs where they make a bunch of shots and they're playing with pace that they're really hard to stop, how much of it is the fact that you're a mile up? Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say, but they certainly put teams on their heels, especially at Ball Arena, at some point in most games this postseason. And look, and Miami's been really tough. So if Miami can stave that off in games one and two, more power to them. But that's been a big challenge for everybody the Nuggets have faced so far.
Hey, when people say Jokic is the best player in the world, you're not going to find a lot of arguments. People will throw out Giannis. But what is, and it's not your beat, but you do get to cover them as they've gone through the postseason. What's the difference between what you've seen when you're watching Joker on TV and then you see him in person? Because I always like to say he's kind of like a walrus when you see him on TV, the way he moves, and then he's making shots and he's making plays and he's passing the ball and you go, how is this guy doing it? But then I've heard that people watch him in person and are like, nope, I'm not surprised at all. Is there a difference between when you saw him on TV and then you see him in person about how good a basketball player he is?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where these guys are always, when you're there in person, just the athleticism is always on display more. It's kind of funny. I remember talking to a guy, one of the assistant coaches at Montana State. I think he's at Utah State now, Chris Haslam, when I covered college hoops. And he's a big guy. He's 6'11", played in England. And he always said that he thought it was funny that, I guess it was maybe especially with some of the European guys, but it was with big guys in general, any post player. Mm-hmm. There are a few that are legitimately not athletic. And certainly if you're comparing a guy like Jokic to, you know, a wing player in the NBA, right, he doesn't have the same vertical and all of that. But that's a different conversation just like physiologically as a human than saying that somebody's literally not athletic. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter if it's Jokic, if it's, your sort of average center in the NBA, like the thing that's so impressive when you see these guys up close is just the way they move. And Jokic is like that, even though, you know, you're right. When you watch him on TV, he kind of lumbers and all that. And then this postseason, the thing that I think, you know, it goes a little bit under the radar is he has, every time a ball goes through the hoop or every time he gets a rebound, you know, he sprints. And that's a little thing, but it's something that they've sort of, it's a consistency, I think, that they've found in the postseason that's, I think, partially a credit to him. And then just when you're watching a game in person, you see more of the floor than when you're watching on TV. And so you just get a little more of the sense of he sees a guy cutting before the guy starts cutting. He sees a defense set up one way. And you don't even know it until it's already happened because it's not like I see things the way he sees things. But it's just one of those, he's one of those guys that is a marvel to watch no matter what. And when you see him in person, it's even an extra level.
Parker, I want to get into the defensive matchup of this finals, and knowing that Miami has been a elite defensive level team all year, but what Denver has done in the playoffs has been up there defensively too. What have you seen from the regular season to now in the finals, or I should say now in the postseason from Denver, that has really kind of shored up that defense to where that is, I mean, a significant factor in this series, knowing that not only do they have the best offense, but they've got a pretty high-level defense too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, part of it is when you get to the postseason, right, you just shorten your rotation a little bit. You experiment less. You kind of go with what you think is going to work, and if it does, you don't change from it just to maybe see something else. But yeah, I think you can't say enough about the work that Aaron Gordon's done postseason. I mean, guys don't guard each other every single possession in the NBA, obviously, but he was the primary on Karl Anthony Towns in the first round, and then he had Kevin Durant in the second round, and then he had LeBron in the finals. And, you know, each of those guys had impactful outings, but, you know, except for Durant for, you know, a game and a half or so in Phoenix, none of them really were able to make a mark in the series in terms of taking over and winning games. And so that's been impressive. The Nuggets have a bunch of wings that they can throw at guys, right? I mean, Aaron Gordon is rugged and can handle bigger players like LeBron, taller, longer players like Kevin Durant. But then you can use Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for a few possessions. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can use Bruce Brown for a few possessions. And Bruce Brown's a guy who is playing point guard, backup point guard for this team to Jamal Murray, basically, and playing, you know, 20 to 25 minutes a night. And he was the sort of mini five, you know, short roller in the pick and roll game with Durant in Brooklyn. So when you say a guy can sort of handle one through four or one through five, you know, Bruce Brown is a guy like that. So they've switched a lot. Aaron Gordon's played really well. And they've gotten a big lift from Michael Porter Jr., who's a dynamic guy. He's 6'10". He's a really good athlete. He's known as a shooter. But he's sort of buckled down on the defensive end in the playoffs, too. And that's what you're looking for this time of year, is everybody to do sort of, you know, one more thing than they did in the regular season.
It should be a lot of fun. I appreciate it. I know you're busy back out at Dove Valley today. So thank you very much.
Oh, you bet, guys. Great talking.
That's Parker Gabriel from the Denver Post. I almost said the Lincoln Journal Star. A lot of people are hitting up Parker because they're like, you know what? I know you're going to be in town for that Nebraska-Colorado weekend because the Raiders play the Broncos that weekend. So a couple of things that were brought up there. You mentioned to him Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon's going to guard Jimmy Butler. So that size worries me a little bit. Mm-hmm. I still like Butler tonight. His rebounds and points is 34.5. I like him to go over. What worries me is, one, Miami will employ that 2-3 zone defense. And that was their best. That's been the best defense when they've had that in the entire postseason. I mean, they're giving up less than a point per possession when they go to the 2-3 zone. And you saw what Boston couldn't do shooting the three ball. But I worry about Jokic in the middle because of his passing ability. I think they'll put ball pressure on him, but he can pass the ball so well. For the Heat, they've got to defensively. If Murray and Jokic are having a bad night, and all of a sudden Michael Porter shows up, what do you do? Because because a guy that shoots like that with his size, that's a problem. I think Miami's got to shoot the three ball well. They got to be able to find a way, because they're going to be very physical on offense. I don't know that Denver's played a team in the postseason that'll be as physical offensively as Miami is, but they got to find a way to get to the rim. They got to find a way to get to the rim, and they also got to find a way to get Bam engaged for four quarters offensively.
It's
the Nuggets' title to lose. I like the Nuggets in six.
I'm taking the Nuggets in five. But I do think, just like kind of what we saw with Denver in L.A., and when you kind of saw the way that Denver got through it, but you're like, okay, does that feel like a sweep, knowing that, you know, those games were competitive? I think Miami makes most of these games competitive, even if they're on the losing end of it, because I do think that they present a defensive challenge that is going to be a little bit unique. But the ways that you can see the Nuggets able to offset, like he brought up Caldwell Pope, and there's another guy that, you know, you think about what he can do offensively when you need a little bit of that sort of outlet there, when maybe it's not falling early for Jokic, when, you know, Murray's getting a little of attention too. So there's just a lot of things that I think would concern you as far as what you have to account for if you're Miami. And, you know, this is an offense for Miami too that obviously they shoot the three well, but if they're not, and we saw what happened with Boston for a team who also shot the three well, and then they go cold. It's just, there's just a lot more to account for that, I think, with this Denver team. And I think everybody's kind of in this boat when it comes to matching up with Denver. Like, okay, can you take a game from them? Sure. Are you able to outlast them in a series given what they do? And especially the level of defense that they are playing now, too. It's a lot to handle. It's a lot to deal with for the very best in the NBA right now. So, yeah, I like Denver to make this a bit short, but I think there'll be competitive games.
I think we talked about it all week because people are going to knock the ratings. Oh, nobody's going to watch. The ratings are going to be bad. It's good for the league.
It's great for the league.
And then the league does it to themselves. They promote markets over teams, and it's more of an individual sport. But if you think about what the storyline should be for this series, it should be all about the game. Yeah, both teams have a star. Mm-hmm. One is probably a little bit more of a superstar than the other in Jokic to Butler. But the focus should be on the game. I know we like to do markets over teams. But if you're looking at what makes basketball good, these two teams are perfect. They're unselfish. They play hard. Yeah. The way they constructed their roster. They're well coached. Yeah, this matchup is good for the league, but I know why people are against it. Because it's an odd pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the Nuggets and the Heat are playing for the NBA championship. It's like UConn and San Diego State playing in the final.
Yeah, you got this low seed. What the heck?
That's our national championship game. Denver and Miami do share. It's kind of an interesting, like, sportsdom that they share. They were both, in the same year, they were both expansion baseball franchises. Remember, they met in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Yep.
Ray Bourque, Sakic, Forsberg, when the Avalanche beat the Panthers.
Yep.
They both have NFL teams where that is the pride of their city. Were beaten in a Super Bowl by Montana. I mean, it's kind of it's a weird thing that Denver and Miami share. But I know it's a weird pairing, so we're not like, oh, hey, yeah. it's good for basketball.
Yeah, if you love basketball, if you love pro basketball, you're all like about this final.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, Steve Sipple will join us. We try to get Sip and PG together, but Sip refused to go on with PG.
He's going
to
do a joint, like 40-minute convo with the two.
I think they should do a podcast before that Nebraska-Colorado game.
Mm. Yeah, like Sam does, like the showdown. They should do like their own like kind of retro throwback. Little, you know, Parker would mind digging in for at least a day or two of Nebraska-Colorado football.
God, if I went to the Denver Raiders game, who would I root for? I don't think I could go to. Could I go to an NFL game and just sit there and have no emotion?
Wear the Rob Lowe hat.
I want both teams to lose.
Team AFC West.
I hope both teams have fun. Sports.
How would a Kansas City Chief fan be treated in Mile High Stadium, not rooting for either team?
Would people just be confused?
Yes, they'd be like,
what are you doing here?
You know, Kansas City's not here for a couple of months.
I'm scouting.
Are you scouting out the territory here? I see, for me, and not being a Chiefs fan, maybe this is easier for me to say, I feel like the more likable team is Vegas.
I'm trying to think, what would Mitch Holtis say? I don't see, being that he coined it Raider Hater Week when he started, I don't know if you could ever root for the Raiders.
Yeah, that's why I think it'd be, that, as a Chiefs fan, you could never feel like the Raiders are more likable. But Sean Payton makes me a little bit more willing to embrace the Broncos, but yeah, I think the more likable team is the Raiders. So this coming from a Bears fan who has no affiliation in that division whatsoever, I'd be rooting for the Raiders.
I'd probably just sit there.
Yeah.
Be like, I have no emotion, but I want to go to an NFL game.
Well, I know you don't root for injuries.
My flight doesn't leave from DIA until 8.
But go football.
I know you don't root for injuries, but if both quarterbacks got like turf toe?
No, I'm not injuries. I want you guys to be healthy because I don't want any excuses when you don't beat the Chiefs.
That's true. Hey,
no sinkholes.
Good on you. Good on you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Maybe I would be there rooting for my fantasy guys.
There you go.
There's always a rooting interest, and I'm pretty sure
is betting legal in Colorado?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they take wagers.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. There. Oh, yes, it is.
So,
who are you rooting for? Me.
So you can do that.
Josh Jacobs, yes! Run!
Yep.
And the next series is Judy, great catch!
right. See, yeah, you could still have plenty of fun and emotion.
But that is that weekend. That's you're going to have plenty of time to make it from Boulder to Mile High with a 10 a.m. kick on
because that would be not only the home opener, the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tickets will be up there.
It's a 2:25 mountain kick. It's a CBS national game.
Damn, if you're paying tickets for Nebraska-Colorado, then you're going to go to the Denver game?
Ooh. A quick look on Ticketmaster.com. Tickets for less would be better where they don't have any fees. The tickets aren't bad.
No.
So the upper level, the 500 level, especially in the end zone that is the closed end zone. Like if you're on 25 going towards downtown, you look into that end zone.
Pretty much where I've sat.
155.
Really?
That's not bad for an NFL game.
You know what? Jump on that now because we did the home opener for the Broncos-Bears game in 2019. Yeah, 2019. That was 225. So I would jump on that now. And we were in the I was parallel with like the light bank. I could have changed a bulb if I needed to.
Now you drop down to the club level, and that's going to be $500.
Yeah. Now, if you're paying less than $200, even for the upper level of the upper bowl, jump on it.
It's not a bad place to watch football.
No, I don't need a new stadium.
It's a good stadium to watch football. All right, Sip's coming up in a little bit, but first, here's an update with Jimmy.
Memphis hit 6 home runs to beat the Storm Chaser. That's a lot of home runs. Last night, 9-4 at Werner Park, and they sent all the puppies home sad. The Redbirds scored the first 5 runs on solo homers. Omaha falls to 22-29. Two teams do it again tonight at 7:05. Some good local stuff here. Nebraska softball's Billy Andrews was honored as an All-American by the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association. The Gretna native was named NFCA Third Team All-American. She is only the third Nebraska native and fourth shortstop to earn All-America honors in program history. This marks the Huskers' first All-America shortstop since Ali Viola was named to the first team in 1998. It caps a great junior season for her. In addition to being recognized as an All-American, Andrews was a first-team All-Midwest region honoree and first-team All-Big Ten selection. She'll enter her senior season next year, ranked sixth in program history in home runs and ninth in extra base hits. Eric Lewis in the NBA was not selected as one of the 12 referees who will work the NBA Finals, which begin tonight, while the league continues to look into whether he used a Twitter account to defend himself and other officials from online critiques. Very Kevin Durant of him.
Yeah, go the burner.
Lewis has been chosen to work in the Finals in each of the last four seasons. After some now-deleted tweets were revealed by a pair of Twitter users last week, the league opened an investigation into whether Lewis violated NBA rules by speaking about officiating in an unauthorized manner. It has not been determined if he was using the account, which utilizes the name Blair Cutliffe. The account was deactivated briefly last week, but was active
again.
It's
not like Ron Mexico, but...
No. But it was active again last night.
Oh, Blair.
Oh, some more college football news. The organization that runs the Holiday Bowl is suing the Pac-12 Conference because they don't have enough bad news going on right now, and the University of California Regents because UCLA backed out of the 2021 game, citing COVID-19 concerns. The San Diego Bowl Game Association is seeking a minimum of $3 million in compensatory damages in a lawsuit filed Wednesday in California Superior Court in San Diego County. UCLA announced less than 5 hours before it was supposed to kick off against North Carolina State December 28, 2021, that it was pulling out of the game after three defensive linemen tested positive for COVID-19. The 10-page filing comes more than 17 months after negotiations between the bowl organization and the Pac-12 failed to come to a resolution. The filing by the bowl organization alleges a failure of defendants to accept responsibility and accountability for their conduct, which caused substantial damages to plaintiff. And finally...
San Diego Tourism, sorry.
Oh, you can't buy that?
No.
No. That's actually where when I saw that story, that's where my mind went.
Mm-hmm. Barely watched the Padres.
Yeah.
I feel awful for them.
Finally, LSU will wear air-conditioned helmets for all practices and games in 2023, created by a Louisiana-based company called Tiger Air. The helmets reportedly have a five-hour lifespan before needing to be charged, and they last up to 4 years. Wave of the future.
What I could have done with the air-conditioned helmet. Man.
Go Tigers.
I thought it was so cool when we had the helmet technology when I was in high school, again, late 90s, when we could pump the helmet.
We can pump the shoe.
You could pump up the helmet and inflate your inner core, your inner padding. Now you could have a little cooling system in there. My gosh, what will they think of next?
It's an advantage. They can recruit linemen. And linemen go, you mean I'm wearing an air-conditioned helmet?
Yep.
Sign me up.
And then if I'm recruiting against them, I'm like, hey, you can go to LSU and wear that air-conditioned helmet, son. But you know what? They make you wear this big battery pack on your back.
You know, you're already carrying a lot of weight, man. You don't want any more. Yeah. You don't need it on your head.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. Coming up in a little bit, Steve Sipple will stop by. We got lots of questions. We'll talk about the Tominaga impact now that he is coming back to Nebraska for another year. That's coming up next on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.